relaxing place I've ever been. You're younger, you don't, or when you're busy, you can't. Mr. Chair, it's 9:02 and you have a quorum. The only one we're expecting still is Supervisor Barger, but as I indicated, she may be a few minutes late.
Okay, so we will start the meeting. And where are we on the agenda here? I got a sales call. Pam Blakely, goodbye. Boy, they're calling me a lot. Okay, we have a call the meeting to order and please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. You have a disclosure statement, Paul?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Item three is disclosure of campaign contributions. If any commissioner has received a campaign contribution that would require disclosure and recusal from an item on today's agenda, please make it known at this time. Seeing none, we have a few announcements. Consistent with state law, the agenda was posted to the LAFCO website on Thursday, August 3rd, and it was posted here at the Hall of Administration also on Thursday, August 3rd. The agenda and public hearing notices stated that interested persons were afforded the opportunity to submit comments by email or U.S. mail no later than 5 o'clock p.m. yesterday. We have not received any written communications after the agenda was posted. Legal counsel has reviewed the agenda and public hearing notices, and they have affirmed that the conduct of today's meeting is consistent with state law. Commission Clerk Adriana Flores will call the roll for agenda items that require a vote. When a commissioner makes or seconds a motion, please do so and state your last name so that we can record it in the minutes. And Mr. Chair, since all of your members are here in person today, you can either call for a roll call vote, excuse me, or you can do a voice vote, whichever you prefer. Item four is the swearing in of speakers. We have arranged for members of the public to provide verbal testimony for today's meeting. As is your practice, each speaker is allowed to speak up to 3 minutes. To the members of the public calling into today's meeting, and should you wish to speak before the commission, I'm going to ask that you please identify yourself and the agenda item to which you are speaking. You may also indicate that you merely wish to be available should any commissioner have questions. Taylor or Doug, do we have any members of the public on the line? Okay, thank you. For any members of the public who are here in the audience who plan to testify before the commission today, now is the time for you to be sworn in. I would ask that you now raise your right hand. In the testimony that you may give before the commission, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. And Mr. Chair, it's back to you for first public comment.
All right, is there any public comment?
Your next item, Mr. Chair, would be the consent agenda, which is agenda items 6A through 6H. Staff recommends one motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll move.
made here and seconded over here, right? Okay, so our vice chairs have made the motion and seconded. Is there any discussion on the consent calendar items? Please call the roll.
Commissioner Bell?
Aye.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis? Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Chair Deere?
Yes, and the motion is unanimously passed. We'll go on to item seven, public hearings.
Item 7A is draft MSR number 2023-03. This is the municipal service review and sphere of influence updates for the cities of Bell, Maywood, South Almani, and Vernon, and the associated CEQA exemption. After previously issuing an RFP, your commission retained RSG to draft MSRs and SOI updates for these four cities. We've worked closely with RSG and we support their conclusions. I am pleased to introduce Jim Simon. He's a principal with RSG who will make a presentation concerning these MSRs. Jim?
Members of the commission, I'm Jim Simon with RSG. We'll go through the four MSRs that you have in front of you today. Just as a matter of, I don't have the clicker, by the way. You got it. Thank you, Taylor. Let me just go to the next slide. Just as a matter of introduction, our firm has assisted LAFCO in the preparation of these MSRs. Special studies in the past for other LAFCOs, as well as prior LAFCO, prior MSRs for this LAFCO. We've been in business for about 43 years. We're an active member of Cal LAFCO, have office locations throughout the state, and have worked in addition here in Orange County, Siskiyou, LAFCO, and several other agencies. The next slide. The MSR that you have is in compliance with section 56430 of the Cortese-Knox-Hertzberg Act. And it requires several determinations to be made as a part of the review that you're conducting in this document, as well as update the spheres of influence for the four jurisdictions that we're referring to today. Next slide. In conducting the MSR, we undertook a number of tasks. This included interviews with several management at each of the four jurisdictions, staff as well, data analysis of population data, land use, housing, and economic indicators, GIS mapping of the jurisdictions, including any unincorporated areas and DUCs, service review of this and assessment of the community services, and a fiscal review of both the agency's respective audits, budgets, and information that was available on the state controller and state auditor website. Next slide. As I indicated, we've got four agency MSRs that we prepared that were included in the agenda packet. We should note that there was some minor typographical changes that were made after the posting of the agenda to make these MSRs consistent with the staff report. And that's what's in front of the packet that you have today. In general, all of the agencies have limited potential for growth due to general build out within their jurisdictions. Some of these things you may know about, but the city of Vernon is in the process of developing a mixed-use zoning district within their jurisdiction that would transform existing industrial property to allow for single-family housing to be built in the city. Bell, South Almonte, and Maywood have experienced a decreasing populations over the last 10 years of modest size, which is not uncommon throughout Los Angeles County. South Almonte and Maywood in particular have a few housing projects in the pipeline to increase the population and housing supply. As for Vernon, it's well known that their population is still under 300 today, but the potential development in the future could substantially increase that population. It's especially important to the city because they've reported to us concerns about the ability to identify people that even run for city council. So there's some practical concerns there for the city as well. The next slide. Regarding the social and economic communities of interest, Bell and Maywood have coterminous spheres of influence and therefore no disadvantaged unincorporated communities. Both cities, however, as a whole, do qualify as disadvantaged communities. The Vernon sphere of influence does not contain any disadvantaged unincorporated communities, but they do have two uninhabited unincorporated areas within their sphere of influence. The whole city itself is qualifies as a disadvantaged community. Finally, South El Monte has four unincorporated areas in sphere of influence, including two disadvantaged unincorporated communities. City is not providing any services to these unincorporated areas at the present and doesn't have any plans to annex these properties in the foreseeable future. The next slide. For each of these jurisdictions, I'm going to go through their present income plan capacity for services. There's certainly some differences amongst these. In the city of Bell, the city is looking to address improvement to its street, roads, and sewers through its capital improvement program. Vernon has been able to conduct routine repairs and infrastructure upgrades as needed. It has allocated about $19 million from its general fund to fund capital improvement projects in the fiscal year 22-23 that just ended. And this went to pavement management and bridge widening projects. Maywood, as was reported in the last MSR prepared in 2005, continues to have septic system challenges. This was an issue that has not yet been resolved since that time. The city reports that more than 70% of the sewer pipes are deficient. In between 2009 and 2018, there were 18 sanitary sewer overflows within the city, which pose a health hazard and a risk water risk as wastewater entering surface waters. In 2017, Maywood was issued a notice of violation by the LA Regional Water Quality Control Board for a major sanitary overflow that occurred in 2016. And the city is facing about $10 million in delayed improvements to this system. They're currently working with the state attorney general and the state water board to address these deficiencies and is exploring funding options to achieve that at the present. Next slide. Potential ability to provide services. Generally, most of these jurisdictions have improved their financial status. So as a general statement, since 2005, Vernon, as you may know, that those of you that were here, dissolved its fire department and became a member of the Consolidated Fire Protection District in 2020, reducing its operating costs for fire services within the city. All of that personnel and equipment and assets were transferred over to the county as part of that transition. Cost of sewer improvements, again, in Maywood is a continued issue. And most of the jurisdictions still are dealing with issues with related to pension liability, though some of those conditions have improved somewhat. Next slide. South El Monte is collaborating with its neighboring communities of El Monte and Baldwin Park to secure funding from the county and the state in order to build a homeless shelter. That project has been an undertaking for the past 3 years and it's continuing to go forward. Next slide. And Vernon has been exploring opportunities for increasing its population, as I mentioned, due to not only just general concerns about the level of participation in local government, but just to address the needs that have come down from HCD. And they are looking at opportunities to do that at the present. That really concludes a presentation on the findings and determinations within the MSR. The next slide, I think we have the sphere maps that are coming up next. Oh, they're in the packet. Okay, got it. And I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Vernon. Interesting place. What is their exact population? I know you have under 300, but what is their population?
I'm going to refer to the exact number that's in our report, which. So on page 11 of the MSR, table one indicates that the estimated population of the city is 214 people, which was an increase from almost double from what it was 10 years ago. Prior to that.
I see. And they are. They want to continue growing?
Yes, we had extensive conversations with the city manager about that. One of the challenges of a very small city, as I'm sure many of you know, is engagement, because it's a very small number of people who are even eligible to run for elected office, or let alone how many of those would be interested. That was among the chief concerns that they've had, as well as obviously complying with the state's requirements to construct more housing within the community. So their focus has been on trying to find land to that to occur. The city is almost entirely developed with industrial properties. So that would, you know, first entail redevelopment of existing industrial properties, which is something that they're exploring right now.
And you were talking about the getting people to run for government positions there. Is that due to just lack of interest or lack of qualifications?
I can't answer the answer question, but it was my understanding from the conversations we've had with the city manager that his view was more of a lack of number of people that were coming forward.
I see. Okay. All right. And this goes back to the days of Leonis Malberg. So anyway, thank you.
Commissioner Finley, I would note that, there was something in the draft report that I read and questioned, which said that council members in Vernon have 5-year terms. I'm not aware of any city in LA County with 5-year terms. And we asked them, they said it really has to do with finding people to run, which is why they have the longer terms. To their credit, I would say they are diligently trying. They are actively on their west side replanning and rezoning to try to get some mixed use to get additional units in. I do think they are sincere in trying to get some new residents to the city.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe a campaign, you know, move to Vernon, city of sun and fun. So my question is, when we're looking at some of these cities that they're actively planning more housing, we know that comes from state mandates. How's that connected with the need for infrastructure upgrades? More residents means more infrastructure, more staff, and all of that. Seems these cities are struggling to find funding. Couldn't that be looked at as an unfunded mandate from the perspective of the state? They're mandating more residents, which leads to a need for more infrastructure and more staff and all of that. So my question is, when they're struggling for funding, one, shouldn't that be looked at as an unfunded mandate? And two, shouldn't the state be financing that?
Love that idea personally, but I would say that as many of these jurisdictions have talked about, you know, they are looking at things like development impact fees to address some of those things, and as you know, there are some that believe that that's a prohibition to developing housing. So you have competing priorities. How do you both fund the infrastructure that's needed, including deficient infrastructure that's in some cases 90 years old, while also trying to grow your population?
But isn't it simply a kind of a basic principle of democracy that those people who are creating impacts are the ones who should be financing whatever the incremental costs are as a result of whatever it is they're doing? And I mean, most of the upgrades when it comes to housing, if you will, is not nonprofits. It's not affordable housing. It's for-profit housing, isn't it? Okay, well, I'd love for us to, I don't know if this is something we can with maybe the overall LAFCO look at, but I know that we should be very interested in anything that reeks of an unfunded mandate, and this more than reeks of an unfunded mandate. You've got these cities that are struggling to deal with their costs now that are going to be added on additional costs for infrastructure. We don't want to be in a situation where they're more sativa water district kind of places and that sort of thing. So I would urge for us to look at that. I think this is a great report, and I think it highlights the need for either more direct state funding or figuring out where the money is going to come from, and not just saying, well, we need upgrades that we're never going to be able to afford. They can't afford it now. The other thing I would ask you is, you probably have seen the Department of Finance is now projecting that in the next 15 to 20 years that LA County, this is all of us, LA LAFCO, is going to perhaps be losing up to 1.7 million residents. So I understand that we have a need, that there's household formation among existing residents who maybe move out of you know, from their parents' house and that sort of thing. Losing 1.7 million residents would suggest that maybe some of these infrastructure, housing, whatever upgrades are premature. And, you know, maybe like one of the SCAG demographers has said, now that we're no longer projected to have a growing population, we should focus on improving the lives of those who are here rather than planning for growth that we see may not happen, or maybe the opposite. And I will just remark, last point on the side, that a stabilizing population, from my perspective, as someone, we're looking at this for the whole county, is a good thing. When we're at 10 million people, which is bigger than what, 30 states or something like that, and we're already LA, the LA demographic area is already the most dense urban area in the US, number one. So stability is the key to sustainability. I think that's a good thing. But how does this all fit in where we're actually in a county that our Department of Finance says is losing, going to stabilize, but even more than that, lose significant population?
I can't answer really your question about what that would mean to you know, state policymaking around some of these issues. I think that's a little bit outside of probably the specter of what I'm talking about in NMSR. I would say though that I just, as a general community development opinion, is that, you know, some, there, you know, while loss of population is certainly a concern, it's not just the loss of population that the housing development, you know, growth pattern that the state's been on is really appealing. It's, you know, many vacancy rates and throughout the state are extremely low, and therefore that's what causes the cost of housing.
Well, I said, I agree that, you know, we're making up for some need as there's new, it's all about headship or household formation. But when you lose 1.7 million residents, you're not going to, you know, it's not like you're going to have, everyone's going to be living in a single person household. There are still people who are couples, who are married, have families, and that sort of thing. And I don't know, I'm guessing that ultimately the question is, shouldn't MSRs or any reports for that matter be based on actual data? And I just wonder how any of this and all of this going forward, when we see the DOF's own projections, how that impacts things. I you know, I think this isn't anything that's not your fault or whatever, but I think somehow we're working at cross purposes. I'd love for us to be able to look and discuss things, but data is data, and we need to, you know, be aware of it. I think these are all good reports, but I think the things I'm bringing up are a larger background, which, you know, how do you finance it? Do you really need it? And all these sorts of things. And we do have policymakers at the state level who are pushing things, but in many cases, it seems, despite their twisting of things, is not data driven. So, but thank you so much for your report. Really, really appreciate it.
Yes.
Just a quick question. Do these reports have any unfunded liabilities like pensions and healthcare? Couldn't find it. I don't know if I'm just not looking at it.
It's in the each of the reports has a section.
It's Vernon,
which we call performance standards, which for Vernon, for example, begins on page 31. And we do document the current condition of, based upon the most available information, the current condition of their unfunded pension and op-ed liabilities.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead. So is that, because you highlighted Vernon, but I would assume that is for most all cities.
Correct.
That's a challenge, right, as it is for the county.
Yeah.
As it is with LAFCO.
Every agency.
Any other comments or questions?
Yeah.
To add on that, my prior commissioners have pointed out the fact that we are undergoing a significant generational and modal change in a state that is no longer gaining population, but is actually stabilizing and maybe even losing population. And this commission in the future is going to be having to deal with the historical legacy of owner-formed cities, given the time frame. I, not being totally familiar with Vernon's history, I believe it was probably like a similar city in my area, the City of Industry, was formed by landowner, large landowner families to fulfill a specific purpose. And of course, with the generational change and the passing, those original families, they've passed to succeeding generations who are now having to deal with the legacy of their time as we go into the future for new modalities, which is going to stress this commission's ability to react. So be aware, we are looking at a seismic change in how cities and counties and the state itself is going to operate in the future.
Any other comments or questions?
Mr. Chair, before I make the recommendation, I just wanted to thank both Jim and his staff at RSG who worked diligently on this effort. And also, frankly, the four cities, they were all very cooperative and good to work with. Met with them, got feedback. We also, just so you are aware, whenever we have a draft MSR of a jurisdiction, we do send them drafts and give them some time to comment. And I think all four of the cities provided us comments, which are reflected in the final version. And with that, we would recommend that you open the public hearing and receive any testimony, if there is any. There being no further testimony, close the public hearing. Adopt and approve the cities of Bell, Maywood, South El Monte, and Vernon MSR and SOI updates. Adopt the resolution making determinations, including the CEQA determinations. Reconfirm the existing SOIs for the cities of Bell, Maywood, South El Monte, and Vernon, and direct staff to add the words reconfirmed August 9, 2023 to the SOI maps for those four cities.
Do all those things.
That would require a motion in a second.
Okay, and I'll be happy to make the motion. But I just a question. Now, have we always gone out for the, I just don't remember going out. I thought it was always in-house. And I know you've done the work in-house and you sent it to them.
It's both. And I'll give you a couple examples. So in this one, we went out to an RFP and RSG is really the lead that drafts the MSR. We're involved in managing and supervising it. There are others that we do in-house. A few recent examples would be the three CSDs, the two healthcare districts, and the two resource conservation districts. So it's just a matter of trying to get through all of that. And it's a combination of the two. And you budget for both when we are doing the budget every year.
Okay. I just hadn't seen this gentleman here before. And...
But we're happy to see you. Yeah.
Yeah, we are. Thank you.
Okay. I'll second if you're moving it.
Thank you. Moved and seconded. Any other discussion? Go ahead.
I agree with my fellow commissioner, but the thing is, these MSRs are mainly funded by the entities themselves. So the funding by this commission is more of an oversight and ministerial form. So the majority of the cost is borne by the entities themselves.
Good point. Other comments or questions? Yes.
I just wanted to say for the record, the city of Bell is one of those municipalities that was, as Commissioner Lewis points out, owned by a family back in the day. I have some connection to that. I don't know that I need to recuse myself from this vote, but very much a changing community, an entrepreneurial community in many respects. And so I would just reaffirm what Commissioner Lewis was saying about changes and evolution of these smaller communities. So for the record, thank you, Paul.
Very nice. Anything else? All right, please call a roll of the motion.
Commissioner Barger.
Aye.
Commissioner Bell.
Aye.
Commissioner Finley.
Yes.
Commissioner Lee.
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis. Commissioner McKellum.
Aye.
Commissioner Marish.
Yes.
Chair Deer.
Yes. Motion passes. Paul, where are we now?
Your next item is 9A, the alternate public member vacancy status report, and I will pass that off to Deputy Executive Officer Adriana Romo.
Morning, Commissioners. As many of you are aware, last month at the meeting, the commission decided to reopen the alternate public member vacancy. And since that time, all the applicants that originally submitted their application were notified that the commission is reopening the alternate public member vacancy, and they all have confirmed receipt by email and U.S. mail, except for two of the applicants. So we're waiting to hear back from two. And the staff provided a schedule on how we're looking to select. Hopefully at the within October, will the ad hoc committee, which consists of four commissioners, to, which would be Supervisor Parker, Commissioner Finley, Commissioner Marish, and I'm trying to blank. Supervisor Mitchell will meet in October and select the finalists to hopefully be interviewed at the November meeting. And after the November meeting, hopefully we'll hold the December 13th meeting. And at that time, the alternate public member will be selected. And staff has reached out to different departments in the county, as well as neighborhood councils, the Southern Association of Governments, the Regional Council of Governments, all the cities in the county, the independent special districts, as well as the county. And a press release was issued this Monday by the county communications office. And staff is currently working with the county libraries to get this the notice of vacancy posted in every county library. The deadline to submit the application will be October 3rd. And the admin committee again will meet right after that. And are there any questions of the commission right now? Yes.
Do we have a date yet?
For the
October for the four?
We're hoping before the October meeting on the 11th at 8:30. That's so far one of the dates. I know it's pretty early, but that would be something that needs to be discussed further.
We've not heard back from Supervisor Mitchell, who is out of town. So Adriana is still trying to schedule it. The one thought with doing it at your October meeting before is you're all here.
Okay, that'll work for me. I think you set out a bunch of dates.
I'm sorry. Yes. So hopefully the admin committee will meet in October, and at the November commission meeting, the interviews will take place, and then followed by hopefully an appointment in December.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome.
Do you need any kind of motion to do anything?
To receive and file.
Move to receive and file.
Second.
Second.
Second over here. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the motion's been passed. Okay. Let's see what.
Your next item is Commissioner's Report, item 11.
Okay. Commissioners, you have a report or announcement? Go ahead.
I'll yield to him and have, if he has any comments, I'll follow up.
No, please, feel free.
Okay, well, I attended my first CalAFCO meeting via remote. I was surprised to find that the participation peaked at 32 individuals who called in remotely, which I think is a future thing for association meetings that are coming. Our main presentations were, we had Brenda O'Rourke of Language Network Services making the sales presentation on how to meet multi-language requirements that the state is in, how you say, basically enforcing on governmental agencies. Now, as I understand, being that LAFCO is a private association, it's an optional item that they may or may not funded, but I stand to be corrected on that. There was a legislative update related to the San Diego Fallbrook option there, review of the LAFCO elections coming up here this September. There's a September 18th cutoff for anybody that we want to recommend to run for the offices, and the final vote will be conducted in October in 2023 at their conference in Monterey. Our own executive officer made a detailed report on the quorum issue, which we'll be addressing later. And then basically the next meeting will be determined to be October 10th or October 24th. Report.
More? Okay. Commissioner's reports? Hearing none. Executive officer.
I just have one quick item, which is to thank everybody on our staff for preparing, compiling, and finalizing this month's agenda package with, frankly, very little support from me. I was out for a week on vacation and unexpectedly out for a second week due to, shall we say, an unexpected illness that's been in the news a lot lately as the agenda was being prepared. So I very much appreciate all of their focus, diligence, and attention to detail in my absence. And that concludes my report. Well, physically, but you know.
Okay. Item 13, public comment. Any members of the public have comments to make? Future meetings are listed. If there's no further business, we are adjourned.
Would have done it. Should have just.